Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. God bless you all. Let me just open this up. Good to see you, Peter. I should say Brother Peter. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to just be here today. And Lord, we know that we have maybe 4 months left. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but just judging on things, activities going on, we know that we won't have an election this year. That's just doesn't seem to go that way. So, Lord, we just pray that we would be certainly ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, you may be seated. Now, before we begin, I'd just like to share, you're looking at the foolish virgins and, you know, how they didn't take the light, okay? They went to buy oil. But then the scripture says, according to Dr. Hoyer and Brother Vail, I used to know you as my wife. I don't know you as my wife anymore. I used to think that was simply just a church. But actually, it's actually right after you read Matthew 25, which is a foolish virgin. So apparently these people have to go through a judgment, and of course that's a tribulation. And but there's also other people go through tribulation. They're good Christians, but they didn't hear the midnight cry. Okay, so those are the ones in between we find in, you know, in the church age book. But I realize now that when it all comes together, when Brother Branham said that when they asked Brother Branham, if you don't make it in the rapture, will you be saved? He said, no. And he said, they're foolish virgin. And they go through tribulation. Well, anyway, those foolish virgin turned, they heard the midnight cry. They realized they didn't have what they needed. They went out to buy. And of course, we know buy is, they go to the storehouse. But all I'm saying is, God knew you before the foundation of the world that you're going to make it. So focus on yourself. Don't focus on them, because that's up to him to decide who's who. You know, some of you have loved ones that you don't know if they're in or out. Just trust God that his token is for all your loved ones. And that's all we can say is, you know, Job applied the token for his family that were partying. They weren't living under his roof. They were partying. He said, in case they might sin. So, you know, we just trust the Lord that he knows, and, you know, that all your loved ones will be there. And if they won't, he'll wipe that memory from you anyway. So we're going to study again from Satan's Eden. I've entitled this one, Living by Every Word. And Brother Branham says from paragraph 46, now notice here, here's a thought. Don't forget it. I'll get to it some other time or some other message. But, you know, God said, let every seed bring forth of his kind. All right, that's Genesis 1:11. Is that God's commandment? Well, our answer is yes. Now, listen to this next thing he says. Now, what good is any preacher or anybody else try to make that word say something else? See? So it all comes down to one thing. One of the things that God, in the very, 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 very beginning, okay, really there's several beginnings. There's pre-word, which is, it's a thought in God's mind. Then there's a word spoken, and that's when God was setting all the seeds in the earth. And then there's the materialization, chapter 2 Genesis, where God puts clothing, he clothes upon, he materializes his word. So there's kind of three beginnings there, but there's really one beginning. Were you in him or not? Okay. And that's what Justin's going to speak on this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, we are taught that heavens and earth will pass away before one word of God will ever fail. So these are laws, and that was the law of reproduction. And he said it in Genesis 1:11, that every seed will bring forth after its nature or kind. That is, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith this word of God. So William Branham continues by saying, every word of God is a seed. And that's something we got to keep in mind because, you know, many times you just take for granted it's a seed. It's kind of, and you kind of play with it. Don't play with it. It's a seed, okay? If it's a seed, it was in God. If it's in God, then it's eternal because God can't change. So you are eternal. God can't change, okay? And so that's why I said, you know, just let people be the way they are. You can't change them anyway. So let them just be what they are. So anyway, every word of God is a seed. Jesus said, so a seed, a sower, so. So in Mark 16 is God's word. It'll bring forth of his kind. In Malachi 4 is God's word. It'll bring forth of his kind. And every promise must bring forth of its kind. So Satan's Eden 47, he says, you see, Satan's Eden out here in disguisement. He's trying to say it's not so. Do you understand? See, Satan says, Satan say, oh, that ain't for this day. That was for some other time. Now, that don't mean that every seed must come forth of, that every seed must come forth of a kind. Well, that's how God established his Eden. Is that right? And here it is. So they're saying, well, every seed must come forth after his kind. I don't believe that, you know. But he says that's how God establishes Eden. Okay? So you got to take it the way God set it up, not the way that you think it does. Okay? Now, you know, last night I was actually looking at paragraph 60, and we have actually in the pipeline 26 more. So. You know, I don't know. God just keeps feeding me, and I can just turn around and feed you, and it's really wonderful. We have 6 months worth, and I don't think I'm going to get to them all. I think we're going to go before then. But you know, I'm not a prophet. But you know, you know, it's just wonderful stuff. So anyway, from Christ's mystery, they said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believed. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference, see? That's right, see? And they said, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. And the Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. And Jesus said, well, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where's it at? Uh-huh. See? Right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him. Notice, every creature, every person that believes in him. You're all entitled to John 14, 12. Not just me, not just Brother Branham, not just Brother Bell. You people sitting there in the pew are entitled to John 14, 12. All right? Now, where's it at? That's his word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not fail. Now, listen, if you want to see it in practice, number one, let the Lord know you believe it. That's because he says he's a rewarder of them that, you know, that believe, okay? And number two, speak it. Don't be afraid it might not work. It's going to work because God said it's going to work. Now, it might not work the way you think it's going to work, but it's going to work because God said it so. And it's for every person that believes in him. I want to see more and more of this because Brother Branham said and Brother Vail said, when it comes to the Brother Vail actually was very explicit. He said, when we come to that resurrection season, you're going to see more and more of this. You're going to see, you know, that which has been kind of held back, you're going to see it open up. So I want to see every one of you have a testimony in your heart that God is doing the supernatural for you, okay? Now, that's not going after gifts and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his word. When you have a chance to use his word, use it, okay? Now, he said, where's it at? That's his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not ever fail. Where's it at? See, it just shows, what is it? It's a hybrid condition. In other words, the churches say, oh yeah, that was for Brother Branham. It's for you too, every creature. Now, I certainly know that he was not every creature because he was not me, okay? And he was not my son-in-law. He was not my daughters. He was not Steve. He's not, you know, Peter. He wasn't us, okay? But for every creature. Now notice again, he says every person. After he mentions John 14, 12, he then asks the question, where is it at? It's supposed to be in the church. It's supposed to be in the church. So where is it at? All right. Therefore, it is supposed to be in the church. So where's it at? and what has prevented it from manifesting openly as he longed to see it. So if it is supposed to be in the church and it is not, that shows the interpretation of that specific promise is not in the church. I hope it's in you. Okay? But if that specific promise is being manifested in the church, then that shows that the promise of his word is in that church. Why? Because God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. So I would just, when you pray and ask the Lord if there's something really a need, and just say, Lord, you know, I really have a need. And, you know, you said, what man, if he asked for bread, if he asked his father for bread, his father would give him a serpent. I'm not asking for a serpent. I'm asking for bread. What man asking for, what was the other one? He said, asking for bread, and he said, anyway, who would give him a rock, okay? In other words, you're not asking for a Cadillac. You're not asking for, all these things. You're asking for specific needs that you have in this life as far as healing. Now, you know, I looked at all these guys, big shots in the Pentecostal realm, and, you know, they're all approaching their 80s, and they've got vitality. They've got good health and everything else. I say, Lord, why am I sitting here struggling when they're not? Well, that's something that, you know, he'll show me, and I think somewhat he's shown me, look, they don't have the word that we have. So that's all I'm interested in is, the word that he's given us. So if it's supposed to be in the church and it's not, that shows the interpretation of that specific promise is not even in the church. In other words, they've got a wrong translation. They got a wrong interpretation, okay? But if that the specific promise is being manifested in the church, then it shows that the promise in his word is in that church. Why? Because God interprets his word by bringing it past. So now, whenever he says those words, now here it is, he wants your attention to what he says next, because he's going to tell us what he is driving at, what he wants us to see. He says, that's how God establishes his church. Every word after its kind. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. That's it. See? So God bringing that specific word to pass shows God is vindicating those who are his. All right? Now, Satan will take something else, but God said every seed after its kind. If the promise says these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, the church says join the church, recite the creed, know the catechism. There are no such things in the Bible. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Who is any man to deny that? In other words, how can you deny what God in his word is telling you? You have to totally be blind not to get what God is saying. It just shows you that there are twins who claim to believe the same Christian gospel. And as I mentioned, we have a foolish virgin who also heard the midnight cry. But the bride goes into the marriage. Well, if the other one doesn't go in the marriage, she's no longer his wife. And that's what Dr. Hoyer told Brother Vail. He's the same doctor who told him about what he saw was the same thing Brother Brown was preaching about, the life of the word coming into its power in the bride before the end time. Now, Dr. Hoyer said in Revelation, in Matthew 25, I used to know you as my wife. I know you not as my wife. Or I know you so no more, okay? At the time they go into the marriage, the bride is bride, she's married. But the others are no longer married, all right? they're no longer. We say, okay, they went into foolish virgin. I mean, the foolish virgin went into tribulation, and in tribulation they get judged as being a whore. Because that's why he says, Brother Branham told us when they said, will anybody be saved outside of the bride? He said, no. And so they go through tribulation. Now, some actually during tribulation give their blood, because there's in Revelation chapter, I think it's, no, not, it's beyond that, it's 14 or 15. Anyway, it says that, the saints had their white vestures, they were all sitting around singing praise, praising for basically it says that they're martyrs, okay? And Brother Brown said they're not the bride, they are the foolish virgins. So we know the foolish virgins in every age. So we know that not all the foolish virgins go through tribulation, because in this hour, you know, you have people that, well, anyway, it's kind of tough, but listen, just think of it this way. They're part of the church that goes through tribulation. It's easiest to think of that way, because Brother Vail does say church in one place, but he says foolish virgin about five places now. So anyway, and Brother Brown said the foolish virgin goes through the tribulation, and they said, well, will anybody be saved? He said, well, the bride. So, you know, I just have to leave it at what he said. I don't understand it fully, and I'm glad I don't, because I don't want to be judgmental and say, well, you're in, you're out, you know. We just count on the blood of Christ to get us there, okay? So, in other words, how can you deny what God in His Word is telling you? You would have to be totally blind not to get what God is saying. It just shows you that there are twins who claim to believe the same thing. In fact, if you do not understand that every revival produces twins, you are going to have a very hard time in this Bible, which is God's message. Every seed, now verse 48, every seed will bring forth of its kind. That is the first scripture where we understand the beginning of twins, because you are looking at seed and source right there. Because if you're, you know, just look at the seed and then look at the source of the seed, okay? That's what we're saying, and you're either in God or you're not in God. we will get into that in a moment. But Brother Brown said every revival produces twins, including this message will produce twins. He also taught us the Bible doctrine of twins, which is understanding the duality of Scripture, that there are blessings and cursing. Brother Vail called it parallelism of Scripture. But Brother Brown simply called it blessings and cursings. But twins is a study that shows right in the same camp, in the same message, or in the same revival, every church, there are two types of believers. One who is a genuine believer and one who is a make-believer. And every revival produces twins, and these two types of are the two types of people. Now, from Ephesians Church 8, Brother Brown said, I said to begin, before we start off again, every revival produces a pair of twins. One is a spiritual man, the other one is a natural man of the earth. I know I joined church. I'm just as good as anybody else, see? And that's what this revival produced. I'm going to read that one more time, all right? That's what this revival produced. What did it produce? It produced twins. It produced a spiritual and it produced a carnal. That's what every revival, that's what Luther produced, that's what Irenaeus produced, that's what St. Martin produced, that's what Columbus produced, that's what Wesley produced, and that's what Pentecost produced, just exactly. Now, we could preach weeks on that, but today we just don't have the time. So from Brother Bram's sermon, Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, he said, every revival produces twins. The two sons of Isaac is well represented. Every time there's a revival, there's an Esau born and a Jacob born. One religious man of the world gets starchy and takes some seminary experience, and the other one wants the birthright regardless of how he has to get it. He has to be a holy roller or anything else. He wants the birthright. Is that Angela back there? God bless you. How you doing? Good, okay. He says, I don't care. That's what the matter with the people. They're afraid of that birthright. Oh, how that they hate us, or how they hate that. But it produces twins. So you have to look at that and say, that's right in the message. It's producing twins, okay? There's going to be two types of Christians in this message, ones who are spiritual and ones who are carnal. The men of the world, very religious, inclined to do good alms and things, but cares nothing about the birthright. Those two great factions has been fighting since the world began. And they're about ready to come to a head now, where something that Jesus said, they'd be so close alike. See, that's message, okay? They deceive the very elected if it was possible. It's true. You see, what a deceiving hour that we're living in. Stay with the Word, brother. Don't leave the Word. That's right. The Word will speak for itself. So we will continue with Satan's Eden now. 48, he says, if you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. All right, see? And then you hear the word of God. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger, they won't follow. Now, can I say amen to that? All right, you've all heard the voice of God in this hour. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. So if you know God's voice and any man does not say what God's vindicated voice says, then we don't hear that voice. Brother Branham told his son, Billy Paul, son, where are you standing? And he said, in Los Angeles. Now, I had a brother write to me and he said, you know, having some issues. And he said, you know, I was listening to this minister. Do you know him? I said, well, if he's not a message believer, then I wouldn't listen to him because he's going to come off with some curveball, you know. But I said, here are some sermons that'll help you in that situation. And you see, the word covers everything. It covers everything, you know. And so don't worry about, you know, focus on the family and all these kind of things. They make you kind of feel good. But you know what? It's just that that's what it is. Just like all these Trump rallies, it makes people feel good. But you know what? He's just as sold out as any of them. Okay. And, I simply cannot say that after the first term, I mean, he did some good things. Don't doubt me there. But so did Hitler. You know, Hitler put two chickens in the pot and two cars in every garage. All right. And they were busted. I mean, you could buy a house for a penny before that. So, you know, Hitler did some good things economically, and so is Trump. But see, where's the sellout? Okay, the sellout is with the churches, and Trump has them in his pocket right now. So don't be looking for him to come along and do great things. He's just part of the plan, okay? Now, Brother Brown told his son, Billy Paul, son, where are you standing? And he said, in Los Angeles. He said, no, be more specific. Where are you standing? And Billy Paul turned around and said, in front of the May Company building. And Brother Brown said, what street are you standing on, Billy? And Billy responded, on 124th Street and Wilshire Boulevard. And Brother Brown said, I saw a vision of sharks will be swimming where you are standing. Now, Brother Ram did not say, I saw sharks swimming in the vicinity of where you are standing. He did not say, I saw sharks swimming in the basement garage of the May building. But ministers falsely told people that that vision is fulfilled because Paul Harvey reported in 1974 that in the basement of the May building parking lot, the underground parking lot, they had to close it down because the sharks were found there. Apparently, a few small sharks came up through the ductwork, and they came up because there was flooding or something. Now, no doubt Paul Harvey is a nice man, but he is no more interpreter of the word than nothing. He simply stated a fact that did not line up with the vision, but since it was close to Satan's ministers, thought it was good enough. Now, see, that's the problem. Then the ministers in this message, they preach it to the congregation. Hey, there's a vision already fulfilled. So brother, you know, that was back when Brother Billy was a young man. Well, I'm sorry, but he was still 74. He wasn't so young then. You see, they are not preaching resurrection. They're not preaching resurrection season. They're just preaching about building the churches bigger. And that's, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's just not what the word's all about. So he said that because they had some flooding. And apparently some sharks went into the water, drainage pipe that carried storm water out to the ocean. And somehow it backed up and flooded the garage along with some sea creatures as well as sharks. Okay. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt, but what he said it. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And other voices they will not follow. Now, I can also take you and show you where, you know, people say, Paul Harvey, he had some great things. You know, he said, if I was Satan, I would do this and this and this, and all those things are happening right now. Well, you know what? Satan would say that. Yeah, but you know what? See, Paul Harvey also spoke against against Brother Branham and against the message. So I've heard that myself with my own ears. I was sitting in my car and I heard him. So don't tell me Paul Harvey is another. You know, he's not echoing the message, okay? And God's voice to this generation never said that there would be sharks in the basement of the garage. He said, where you are standing now, okay? And as far as I know, Brother Billy Paul still was looking for that vision to be fulfilled right up to his death. So he didn't believe Paul Harvey either. And I believe it can be fulfilled now that he's a young man, okay? Now, back to Brother Branham, and we'll pick up at Satan's Eden, number 49. Now we find out that every seed brings forth of his kind. There was no death in that Eden. There will be no death in the new Eden. I can't wait to get there. All right? See, there was nothing else but holiness and purity and eternal life. Now, by unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. We are now entering in where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in a Eden of this earth, a Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started up not upon I am Satan. He says, I am the great angel, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. Now listen, he said the Antichrist is coming in. Well, listen, this Pope, I don't know if you've seen the videos and stuff, but you know, he has told the people, don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, that's wrong. You should have a personal relationship through the church. He told him that, all right? You know, he also said, I won't even say the words because I don't want to give, but he's a cantor, sang a song about Lucifer, oh, son of the, you know, oh light, and then you gave birth to Jesus Christ. So he's saying that Satan is a great light and he gave birth to Jesus Christ. So he's just full of idolatry and he's not the Pope for no reason, you know. I mean, he got put in there by the Jesuits. So anyway, so Satan didn't say, he says, I am Satan. He says, I am the great angel. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. Okay, so it's going to take place in this age. And now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people, he's built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. All right? Like Fauci says, you know, I am the science. And he's been proven wrong. Well, the man should go to jail. He should be hung or shot or whatever. He killed more people than Hitler killed. With his vaccines, okay? Now, I'm sorry, I might have to be taken out of here, Brother Sam, because we'll be shut down for that for sure. Anyway, right, scientific preachers, scientific church, scientific theology, and everything's scientific. Everything's on the basis of theology. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It ain't built upon faith. Now, notice the example that he gives us about every seed. He talks about Satan's seed that is religious but worldly and full of fashion, and then God's seed, God's seed only wants to fulfill his word. So, paragraph 50. One time I went in to hold a meeting in a man's church, and it was a great auditorium in the West, a fine man. And he denied these things that we're talking about. Now, does Brother Brown call him a fine man again? He says, yes, he was. I like him. He was a fine man. An old man, when his congregation went out, it seated about 6,000 people when his congregation went out in the afternoon, about 1,500. And they were all fine-dressed intellectuals. I sat there and watched them, and he preached a very good sermon, that man did. And then he asked if anybody wanted to accept Christ, just raise up their hand. And no one raised up their hand till finally a woman raised up her hand. He said, all right, now you're a Christian. Why is she a Christian? Because she raised her hand, okay? And he made her for baptism. And then he went out, he dedicated a baby, kissed a little baby, and made a prayer over it and dismissed the audience. When his congregation went out, all fine, scholarly, educated people. Then I was standing on the side to shake a man's hand and wish him Godspeed as he went out. And when I did, here come my crowd in. Now, you find another place, Brother Bam said, they walked out and then they opened up their pack of cigarettes and started sucking on their cigarettes, showing they're still sinners, you see? But they're fine. They're, you know, they can say, Lord, bless you real nice, and they can be real kind and everything else. But they're off the word. So they couldn't, he said, speaking of his congregation, they couldn't let them in while his crowd was there. Here come mine in wheelchairs and stretchers, straitjackets, insane and everything else. See the difference. That's it. That's the thing I'm talking about. See, it's something different. Now, notice that Brother Brown's crowd were all crippled and the like, but were there for one purpose in mind, to see the word manifested and see the power of God on display for all to see. Now, when a scientific knowledge, you can make an understanding an understanding of he that believeth on Jesus Christ shall not be condemned. See, but these signs shall follow them that believe. See, he fails to put that in there. It's like the brothers will quote, 12 quotes where Brother Brown says Jesus was God, and then I looked every one of them up, and he said, the very next verse, he said, because God was in him. But they don't put that in there. You know, they'll quote John 8 where Jesus says, I and my Father are one. But they won't quote the next verse that says, because my Father is dwelling in me. You see, so it's really sly. It's like Satan did to Eve. You know, he quotes part of the scripture, but he doesn't quote it all. See? See, he fails to put that in there. See, she believed on Jesus Christ, she's saved, if these signs shall follow the believer. And he that heareth my word, not just make something, not hear it with their ears, but understands it. Anybody can hear it. So if you're listening to the message with your ears and you say, well, I'm a believer, but you don't understand it in your heart, you're not a believer. What are you believing? All right. A prostitute can hear it and remain a prostitute. See, a drunkard man can hear it. A liar can hear it and still remain a liar, but he that understands my word and believeth on him that has sent me has everlasting life. Now, you might not understand all the integral things like the visions, you know, how's this going to happen, like all the intricacies of the resurrection and things like that. We don't know them, but we certainly know whom we have heard, okay? All right. But he that understands my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Well, there you are. See, no man can do that except God foreordained him. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him, and all the Father giveth to me will come to me. Amen. It's all the sovereignty and foreknowledge of God. Now, that's interesting he said that, because actually next week we start a series on sovereignty. And actually, it's interesting that Justin is preaching tonight on it wasn't so from the beginning, because I'm going to be showing you that sovereignty all deals with the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It's a done deal. I mean, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, only in that the salvation of this flesh, but our souls are there. All right, so, you know, it's a good thing. So it's all the sovereignty and foreknowledge of God. He lives alone, and there's nobody going to tell him what to do. From hearing, recognizing, and acting, he said, but the church spiritual, able by revelation, by grace, he's seen beyond that, and by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it testified of his righteousness, God. The same thing took place in Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, and the other one was of the spirit. One of the bondswoman, one of the free woman. And it happened the same thing in Israel, Moab, two great churches coming together. And when Israel was wanting to go to their promised place, church spiritual, Jacob's people, Israel on the road, Esau's people met them, Moab and the church powerful. And the great leader of the church, Balaam, came down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with his blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan, and to see the word of God. First, faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. Then the believer hears it, recognizes it, and acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it. He'll listen to those tapes 24/7, all right? But he doesn't act upon it, all right? See, but never. Hear means to understand it. Look at it. Is looking at something. But to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. I mean, that's pretty clear. Question and answers, he says, now in there, that subconscious, see, that's where your mind. Now, Jesus said, except a man be born again, now that that's not what I wanted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God coming. See, John saw the kingdom of God when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right? He said, then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus wasn't standing there to the Pharisees who rejected God manifest in flesh, right? He wasn't saying to them the kingdom of God is within you. It was in your midst, and the kingdom of God is invisible. It's God's person is in me, and you're not even seeing me. All right? Because they said, show us the Father, and it'll suffice that you've been looking at me, ain't you? Huh? You've been looking at me, okay? So it's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at something looking right at it? Well, I just don't understand it, see? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. See, you don't understand it. To see is to understand. You know, I'm sure Michael and some of the translators have a hard time because they see the word see and then they have the word see. I mean, from the tape, you know, they say, okay, he said see. Does he mean S-E-A or S-E-E? You know, and then what does he mean by see, okay? But Brother Branham says when you say the word see, you know, I see it. He said you're meaning you're understanding it, okay? Or you don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at anything. But with what's inside of you, you understand with, you see with that. See, with the eyes of God, you look. So if you do not understand, that is because you don't have the Holy Ghost to understand with. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak the mystery of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God, we speak the mystery of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Trump don't know it. The rest of the men don't know it. The princes don't know it. But had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows, okay? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's what we receive, see? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives us his Spirit so that we could know, that we could have doxa, because that's what makes us one with him, like even as his Father was one, okay? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, here it is, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, from pardon, Brother Bram says, our Heavenly Father, knowing that the sun is swiftly going down, time shall be no more, one day the great archangel will step out on the scene from out of eternity, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and every man and woman will answer to what we know to be the truth, the Word of God. There's got to be some standard that God has to have here on earth that we're to be judged by. And if we took the standard of our church, our denomination, how far would we miss it? And which denomination would be right? Therefore, we'd be confused. We wouldn't know what to do. But there is a standard, and that is your word. And your word said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he cannot understand it. He must accept it and be born. He must accept it by faith, be born again, and then he will understand it. See is to understand. Okay, then from Jehovah Jireh. Now, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, the grace of God rests upon us, is my humble and sincere prayer. But I just believe now, don't doubt. Is there any in the building, which I know there is, men or women, who doesn't know him, has never accepted his provided sacrifice, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior? Do you not know him? You might intellectually think you do, but a man can't see God until he's born again. See doesn't mean you don't see with your eyes. You look with your eyes, but you see. See is to understand. You look right at it and say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You'll never know what we're talking about until you're born again. So you have to couple that when Brother Branham says, well, you don't have to believe. You don't have to understand. You just have to believe. He later says in these sermons that you've got to understand, okay? And honestly, he also says that I should pull that quote up somewhere for you. But he says, you can't believe if you don't understand. Because what are you believing? All right? So from Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice that God has promised at this end time to send the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of himself. So where else does the prophet of God speak of this in the Bible? All right, in Daniel 70 weeks, he says, but you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. That's us. You understand? That's you. It's that Bible, Daniel's talking about you. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, in other words, one angel to one prophet. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand now? Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians 1 again in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, some translations say the eyes of your heart. So you see, heart and understanding is the same thing. Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So we are witnessing that what God has done, this his Holy Spirit has come down with a shout, which is a message, and we have come to full understanding because his Spirit brought his understanding to the church in this hour. So we are coming to the place where we are saying, we're thinking what God's thinking. All right? We have his doxa. All right? John 6:45 says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned, not just heard, but hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Romans 15:21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they shall have not heard of, shall understand. Okay? Hosea, who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressor, that's a, you know, I went over what does it mean to be a transgressor, the promises of God. It means to go outside beyond the limits, okay? So it says here that the transgressors shall fall away because they go out beyond the limits, okay? In Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. There you go. But the wise shall understand. Now, I don't say that you have to say that everybody who doesn't understand is wicked, but that's what the Bible says. So, you know, if you want to say what the Bible says, then just... But if you want to stay out of contention, just don't say nothing, okay? Now, Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And that's what it all comes down to, is you're falling in love more and more with what he is doing for you, who don't deserve it. We don't deserve what he's given us, but it's grace. He has given it to us anyway. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we know that we don't deserve what you've given us, but we're thankful that that you have given it to us. Just like sometimes we get presents that we, from, you know, different loved ones and different people and family and friends. And Lord, we don't deserve any of that, but Lord, we're thankful for them. And so, Lord, we don't deserve your promises to us, but yet we're so thankful that when we receive them. So that's the attitude we want to have, and we just ask you to bless these things to our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If I could have Brother Joshua come up and...
I'd like to sing When the Saints Go Marching.